Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, economic, and prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. A number of weeks ago, I started compiling some notes and articles about transgenderism. The subject really can't be avoided. Almost every day, there's some new article about transgenders presenting in kindergarten classes, drag queen hours in libraries, the Biden administration supporting some new transgender initiative, men and women's sports. Now, it is true that the media covers these stories because it riles people up and gets them to click on the articles. But the explosion of the transgender movement is a real thing. In 2007, the number of pediatric gender clinics in the country was zero. Today, there are over 100. The number of children seeking gender transitions and counseling has tripled in the last 5 years. And the official White House and Democrat position is that sex changes for children are necessary and considered gender-affirming healthcare. Gender choice is a huge movement sweeping the country. After the legalization of pornography in the 1950s, the sexual revolution in the 1960s, the legalization of abortion in the 1970s, then the legalization of homosexuality in the 1990s, then came the legalization and the acceptance of homosexual marriage in the 2000s. Now, in 2023, and even starting 5 years before, there is this belief that gender should be a choice. This was the inevitable progression. It's the inevitable results of removing God from the public square in government and in education, what could be referred to as the secularization of America. Without the law of God being taught as the basis for morality, the natural falling feelings of man become the basis for determining right and wrong. So within a generation or two, people naturally begin to follow and affirm their sinful desires as the truth. And it takes a total commitment to Christian truth to believe otherwise. As we're seeing that it's only the Christians who are not following the culture in affirming LGBTQ. A couple of weeks ago, there was an article about how James Reimer, a hockey player with the San Jose Sharks, would not wear an LGBTQ pride jersey at the team's celebration of Pride Night. I mean, I didn't even have to read the rest of the article to know that he was a Christian. Because only those who get their morality from the Word of God, and only those who believe that the authority of the Word of God is more important than money and appeasing people, will be those who do not bow the knee to the LGBTQ movement. Isn't it really interesting how transgenderism and LGBTQ draws the line in the sand, exposing where everyone stands, who people choose as their God? Well, the article did go on to cite James Reimer's religious beliefs for why he wasn't going to wear the jersey. Quote, "For all 13 years of my NHL career, I have been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have personal faith in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins, and in response, asked me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hatred in my heart for anyone. I've always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I'm choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life," unquote James Reimer. Again, this proves my theory that in these last days, given the spirit of the age, and given the deceptive secular view of law and government that has taken over the country, that only Christians will be taking a stand against LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer systems of belief. And they are systems of belief. And I should add here that it is very, very important that the world knows that Christians refuse to affirm LGBTQ. Now, leftist professing evangelicals are saying that taking a stand against LGBTQ is a negative for the church, that it's a poor testimony, that the people won't want Jesus, Jesus won't be getting us. But that's a lie. Because within a generation, all the harmful negative effects of immorality will begin to come in like a flood. And the testimony that God is true and every man is a liar will be established, and the Christians will be remembered for where we stand. We will be vindicated. Just like the leftist progressive Christians back in the 1920s supported communism, the true Christians who opposed it were eventually vindicated when all the truth about communism came out. So back to this hockey player, James Reimer. What's both surprising and alarming is that all of the other players, all of the other staff were willing to wear this jersey. Reimer's was the only one who would not. It'd be one thing if he didn't wear the jersey and everyone else felt a sense of shame or guilt. But I can guarantee you that everyone else on that team assumed that they were more righteous than James Reimer because they wore that jersey, because they were being more accepting and tolerant, because they were not being judgmental or pharisaical, but apparently showing love. And the argument put forth by the management of the team was that hockey has to be for everyone. So notice the deception of sin, which makes standing for God all the more difficult. When we stand for God, we actually look like the unloving ones because we're not loving mankind and we're not loving this world more than we love God. When we read in the book of Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three young Jewish men who didn't bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, we often don't realize how difficult it was for them to take that stand until we have to take a stand in our own day, at our own job, in our own circumstances. So, this is all by way of introduction. As I said earlier, for the last few weeks, I've been compiling notes and articles about the transgender movement, mostly for the purpose of doing a program about the underlying attitudes operating almost subconsciously in the minds of transgenders and their allies. Well, then on the news last week, Audrey Hale, a transgender, a female transitioning to being a male, murders six innocent children and adults at the Covenant Christian School in Nashville. Audrey Hale was once a student at the school. She left a manifesto explaining the reasons for her violence. Now, as of the recording of this program, that manifesto has not yet been released. But when it's released, it's going to be a real eye-opener, probably exposing what Christians have been saying all along about the motives and the reasons for transgenderism. It's a rebellion against God's creative decrees, against God's gender roles, and against anyone who agrees with God's norms in these matters. Fallen mankind is in rebellion to God. People do not by nature agree with God's righteous ways. They don't want to submit to many, if not all, of his laws. And now with a disregard for God, people even want to rebel against his laws concerning gender. And they're being taught to do so by people who delight in seeing others rebel against God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Hostile, for it doesn't subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. Now, it's one thing to read this in our Bible. It's a whole other thing to see this hostility in practice. And that's what was going on in the heart of Audrey Hale. On her social media, she posted an upcoming protest by transgenders called a Day of Vengeance, sponsored by a group called the Trans Radical Activist Network. And the contention of this group is that transgenders are being persecuted and they're victims of Western Christian values and Christian transphobia. There's a quote on their website from Sylvia Rivera. She co-founded the militant group called Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries. Quote from Rivera on this site, "Like the Stonewall riots, the gays and the lesbians were experiencing what the trans community is facing now. This cycle of hate needs to end. In fact, it must. Allies, siblings, we need you now more than ever. I was a radical revolutionist. I am still a revolutionist. I am glad I was in the Stonewall riot. I remember when someone threw a Molotov cocktail. I thought, my God, the revolution is here. The revolution is finally beginning." Unquote, Sylvia Rivera. This trans radical activist network had a Day of Vengeance, an event scheduled for 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 1st at the Supreme Court in D.C., with additional events planned for March 31st. Now notice that it's not called a rally or a protest, but they want vengeance, which is wanting punishment inflicted or retribution on others for perceived injustices or wrong. Now, according to the website, their national recruitment director, Bo Bilotti, a biological female who identifies as a male, co-founded a statewide activist collective for trans people, is a field organizer for Planned Parenthood, worked for the gubernatorial run for Democrat Terry McAuliffe, helped to craft model transgender policies for public schools. According to an article in PJ Media by Matt Margolis, quote, "The Trans Radical Activist Network purports to seek revenge for what they term trans genocide, a conspiracy theory that claims that transgender people are systematically targeted with violence. However, an examination of the FBI statistics by the Daily Wire shows no proof to collaborate this claim. In 2021, only two of the 271 recorded hate crimes against transgender individuals resulted in murder. These figures are substantially lower than those of other groups and insufficient to substantiate allegations of trans genocide." Unquote. So we see another underlying issue here, that transgender people who have an animosity toward God and his law will exaggerate their persecution. Look how much I'm being hurt and marginalized. Well, I guess if you're fighting against reality, against the God of the universe, you will inevitably see the whole world as being against you. Now, even before Audrey Hale's manifesto has been released, police have said that the manifesto states that she was resentful for having been forced to attend a Christian school. Well, of course, the love of God is not in her heart. But recognize that this Christian school only goes up to the sixth grade. And Hale only attended this school in the third and the fourth grades, but her animosity was so great that she would even resent that brief influence in her life. Remember Cain's resentment toward his righteous brother Abel. 1 John chapter 3. "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who doesn't practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who doesn't love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. So, as Jesus said, we will know them by their fruits. It becomes obvious who is on the devil's side and who is on God's side." Now, we know the argument, and we've heard it all in the media this week, that not all transgenders are violent. There are some sweet, nice transgenders out there. That this connection between transgenderism and violence is unsubstantiated. I mean, after all, there are plenty of violent people who are not transgenders. Well, that's true. But they do have one thing in common. A rebellion against God in their heart over some issue. Whether that be not submitting to God's authority concerning work or responsibility or accountability or the raising of children, or not submitting to God in regard to sexual morality. The fact that some goodness might still remain in those who are in rebellion to God is not an argument to justify sin and rebellion. Hitler used to give out candy to children. Members of the mafia would take care of their children. It's the American Humanist Association that argues that people can be still good without God and still be good while disobeying most of, if not all, of God's law. But that's a fallacy. Without God, all things are permissible. And there is that gradual slippery slope when you reject God's truth. You will, and the whole society as well, will eventually reject all of God's truth, so that even murder becomes acceptable, along with even further sexual perversions like pedophilia, rape, polygamy. So there's just so much to talk about here. I've covered this topic before and covering it again because Christians need to discern all of the attitudes and the arguments driving transgenderism. I mean, even for a transgender to come to Christ, they need to see and identify the attitudes that have arisen in their heart and learn God's alternative way of thinking. Even though I'm very familiar with transgender ideology, I'm still learning new aspects of it every week. And I'm still reshaping my witness as new arguments and stories about transgenderism are being reported. So let me kind of conclude here with listing a number of stories. And I want us to think about what these stories are teaching us. Here's a story. In East Hampton, Massachusetts, school superintendent candidate says job offer was rescinded after he called two females ladies in an email. He was told that using ladies, the term, is microaggression. Now note, he was already given the job, but it was taken away from him because he used the term ladies. So social leaders in education are serious about gender language being offensive and that it must be removed from our country. Here's another story. Bud Light partners with trans activist Dylan Mulvaney. The lesson here is that even major U.S. corporations want to advertise transgender support because the public so favors transgenderism that it can now be good PR for your product. Here's an article. The Church of England issues a formal apology to LGBTQ members amid spat over same-sex marriage. We want to apologize for the ways in which the Church of England has treated LGBTQI+ people. The occasions on which you have received a hostile and homophobic response in our churches are shameful, and for this we repent. So it's not as if LGBTQ is a sin to be repented of. But now, not supporting LGBTQ is considered the sin. Lesson? How world religion is jumping on board this worldwide apostasy. But here are some stories related directly to Audrey Hale's murders. Once the story came out, much of the media put a spin on the story so that it wasn't about how these children and teachers were murdered, but how the trans community is being persecuted. Here's a story. A group called the Trans Resistance Network stated that Audrey Hale felt no other effective way to be seen than by killing six people. In other words, she did this because this was the fault of anti-transgenderism. Here's a statement from this group. Life for transgender people is very difficult and made more difficult in the preceding months by a virtual avalanche of anti-trans legislation and public call-outs by right-wing personalities and political figures for nothing less than the genocidal eradication of trans people from society. Many transgender people deal with anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide, PTSD, from the near constant drumbeat of anti-trans hate, lack of acceptance from family members, and certain religious institutions, denial of our existence, and call for detransition and forced conversion. All of these factors contribute to a population that is underserved and often faced with anti-trans bias while accessing care, leading to significant physical and mental health disparities. And here's this other article. Tennessee would still have their children if Tennessee did not pass anti-trans bills. So the shooting is now being justified because the trans community is claiming that they've been marginalized and victimized. So do we know what this is ideologically? This is the old false teaching of Sigmund Freud, that there is a conflict between the id and the ego. What we would call in Christianity the moral conscience given by God and the sinful desires of the flesh and the sinful nature. Freud taught that the conflict was not caused by the sinful flesh fighting the ego, but by the Victorian morals in society, which misinformed the ego and made the id in conflict with the ego. So the fault was the law of God, not the condition of man. That the law of God is causing all of our guilt and anxiety and worry and shame. So God's rules are causing us to murder, to steal, to rape. And I'm sure this is what Cain thought. If God didn't have all of those sacrifice requirements, Abel would still be alive. You know, if there weren't for God and his laws and all of this pressure, we would just all live right. And that's a lie right from Satan himself, isn't it? Because what really happens is that the more we give into the id, the sinful flesh, the more evil we become. God's law is not making us do evil. But isn't this lie exactly the lie of Satan in the Garden of Eden? The lie that's being repackaged and resold to prepare the world to embrace the Antichrist and the ensuing destruction of mankind in the apocalypse, which is Satan's goal. Well, my point is this. There's just a lot to understand in the attitudes and the actions in this transgender movement that is sweeping the country. At the core, it is very simple. It's gender rebellion against God. But it's covered with all sorts of false rationalizations and defense mechanisms that are meant to make evil appear righteous. This transgender movement is driven simply by what we read in the New Testament book of Jude, verse 8. These men in their fantasies defile the flesh and reject God's authority. That's it. It's a rejection of God's authority that shows itself in 1,000 different deviations and 1,000 different excuses. And if we're to be proper ambassadors of Christ's kingdom, we need to understand all of these arguments and boil them down to their essence so that we can expose the lie of the devil and save some. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at YouTube and Rumble. The channel is called God and Country Biblical Exposition, but you can get all of those links at the website, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers and support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to discern what's really going on in our day so that we can be more fully assured of the truth found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.